Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Gittin is Lamed Vav. We're Lamed Hamed Base. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Lezecha Nishmas Liba Gabriela Bashmua. We are in the middle of the sugya on Lamed Hamed Base, and the discussion is as follows. The woman, in order to collect her ksuva against the Yisomim, she's an almana, she's a widow, and she wants to collect her ksuva from the Yisomim, so that's going to require a shvua. Anyone who wants to collect from Yisomim, even though they're owed the money, they're obligated the money, and they have a lien against the properties, but nevertheless, in order to collect from the Yisomim, in order to create a protection for the Yisomim, so any note holder has to make a shvua before they collect their loan. And the shvua is essentially, I have not yet gotten paid. I have not gotten paid any amount of the money. You have to make a shvua. So they prevented the almanas from making a shvua. The Gemara went on to explain yesterday. The Gemara didn't explain, but the Gemara did. The reason why they prevented the women from the almanas from making a shvua is because there's a strong possibility that they got some sort of partial payment of their ksuva, and they easily write that off. They justify that as, I've been working so hard since my husband died, I've been taking care of the children, let's not call this a ksuva payment, let's just simply call this, I've been working very hard, and magia li, it's due to me. So as a result of that, so they're going to justify whatever ksuva payment they got, and they're going to make a shvua, and the shvua is not going to be perfectly honest. Yesterday, the Gemara spoke about how serious a ramification it is if a person violates a shvua, even if it's reasonable, but it's not perfectly honest. Nevertheless, the ramifications are devastating. So the Chachamim prevented her from making a shvua, which then led to a really almost impossible situation, and that is a woman, an almana, needs to collect her ksuva, and now because of the halachic realities, she can't collect her ksuva. How's that going to work? So that good. That's why the Mishnah comes up in the fourth parak of Gittin, because it deals with all the takanos, and one of the takanos that was instituted by Rabbi Gamliel is, here's what we're going to do. We're not going to allow her to make a shvua, but we'll swap out a neder for a shvua. A neder is not as severe, so a person can make a neder. It's not going to be as serious as a shvua, but it'll be something. It will be some sort of safeguard to make sure that she's telling the truth. The neder will go something like this. Rashi back in the Mishnah explained that if I collected any of the ksuva, if I received any of the prepayment of the ksuva, so then all the fruit in the world are going to be offered to me. Or whatever, or she'll choose something that she really likes, right, as being the davar ha-nadur. That's the object that will become prohibited to her. So the Gemara says that is the Takana Rabban Gamliel. What we dealt with in the Gemara, and which we're going to finish up right now, is the following. This all works well and good while this almana has not been remarried. However, let's say now the almana, Baruch Hashem, she found another husband and she's now remarried. So now, but she has yet to have collected her ksuva. So now here comes the problem, right? Follow now. She hasn't collected her ksuva, and again, she's entitled to her ksuva. She's a note holder, so she's entitled to the ksuva. In order for her to collect her ksuva, she has to make a shvua, because it's against the Yisomim. The Chachamim prevented her from making a shvua, fine. The Chachamim said that we're going to swap out a shvua, and instead we're going to make a neder. Fine. Here's the problem. The problem is she'll make a neder. She has a husband, and the husband has the ability to be made for neder. The husband can just simply absolve the neder, and for no reason, meaning simply because he's the husband, so he could do so. So now there's no safeguard in terms of whether or not she's telling the truth or not. She could be telling a lie, and it would be not, I don't mean this, but I'll say it, and it would be fine. Not fine in general, but good for her, because she'll be telling a lie. Then she turns to her husband, she says, look, you know, I already got some of my ksuva payment, I had to make it, they had me make a neder, do me a favor, can you do your magic, can you do your hafara? And the husband's going to do the hafara, and so therefore there's no longer a way of securing that she is in fact telling the truth. This is the Gemara. This is what we were dealing with yesterday in the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Is there an avenue in terms of making sure that that she can collect her ksuva even after she gets remarried?" That is where we were in the Gemara yesterday. So the Gemara.
I'm talking about your son and it's up to the mitzvah, right? Or is it no longer for a monetary thing? Maybe it's older.
I think. Yisomim just simply means that it's not.
I could be 35 and be.
Good, but he has not. A person is not responsible to know what his father's affairs were.
Oh, so it doesn't matter the age.
Ostensibly, no. Okay, so the Gemara says, let's. Let's pick it up from. I know. We did this, but we kind of got stopped right in the middle. So Am Rav Huna. Let's start again from the beginning of the sugya. We're on Lamed Hey Amud Beis. So Lo Shanu Ella Bishalom Nises. Aval Nises Emadir Nosa. So the Gemara says once she gets remarried, you can't have her make a neder. Nises my taima. The Meifel Abal. The problem is that her husband is going to be Meifel, as we just described. So Kilo Nises Nami Lechi Mintava Meifel Abal. So the Gemara says, well, even if she isn't married yet, but can't you envision a scenario in which she made a neder? Before she got remarried, then she gets remarried, and her husband hears about this neder, and the husband's going to say, "I don't like that neder." So the Gemara says, "Enabal mefer bekod mima." Yeah, the Gemara says, "But look, that's not how the rules work. The basic ground rules are the husband can only be mefer a neder that she makes after she gets married, not before she gets married." So the Gemara says, "Venechesh dema azal agabe chacham v'sharila." The Gemara says, "Oh, so interesting. Now that you're opening up the idea that she could be mefer a neder, so why can't she do the following? She can go to a chacham. Chacham can be matur the neder, even if she doesn't get remarried. We're just talking now stam. A woman can't a woman ostensibly go to a chacham?" So the Gemara says, "Kasav tzarich lefar, it's a neder." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but the difference is as follows. When you go to a chacham, so you're going to have to explain to the chacham, here's what happened. I had to collect my ksuva, and can you imagine this basin had made me make a neder? Okay, so I made the neder. But now can you get me out of it?" So now the chacham's going to realize, no, of course not. That's crazy. I'm not getting you out of that neder. So therefore, the chacham, who needs an explanation in order to be matir neder, so of course he won't. The husband, who doesn't need an explanation, so the husband will. That's the difference between the husband and a chacham. Rav Nachman Amar Filanises. Now Rav Nachman disagrees. Rav Nachman's of the opinion that even if a woman remarries, we can have her make a neder. How does that work? So Nises Vada Meifer Labal. So the Gemara says, now again, how can that be? The husband's going to have her, is going to annul her neder. So the Gemara's answer is the Majin Leber Rabim. So the Gemara says, well, it's going to be a public neder. Public neder meaning that she'll make it in front of a quorum of 10, and that'll be locked. Meisve, the Gemara says, on that we're going to challenge Nises Govik Suvasa Im Nadra. So the Gemara quotes the Brisa says that if she gets remarried, she can collect her ksuva if she makes a neder. My lab nadra hashta. So the Gemara says ostensibly what we're saying is that she's making a neder right here, right now. So the Gemara says, loan didanja mikara. So the Gemara says, no, she made a neder previously. And as we learned, the husband can't be made for a neder that was made before the marriage. But Hatanya Nisa is no deres vegova ksuva. So the Gemara says, okay, but I'll show you this Brisa. And this Brisa says it clearly. A woman can, an almana can, remarry, make a neder, collect her ksuva from her previous husband, and the Brice is pretty clear about that. So the Gemara says Tanahi, the Iklaman Damar Neder Shu de Brahm Yeshlafara, the Iklaman Damar Ain Lafara. So the Gemara says, okay, you know what's the difference between these two Brices? It's really fundamentally pinned on this question of when a woman or anyone for that matter makes a neder barabim, they make a public neder. Is it locked? Or is it something that can be released? So the Gemara says, that's a machlokis. So if you're of the opinion that it's locked, so then a woman, even after she remarries, and even though the husband typically can be made for neder, but not if she makes a neder barabim. So that allows her to make a neder after she gets married because she'll be locked into that neder. According to the first Brisa, however, no. The first Brisa is of the opinion that a woman is not locked into a neder, even if it's a neder made barabim, and so consequently she can't make the neder because it's something that her husband can easily get her out of. When you make a neder, do you need to specify all the details or not? Rav Nachman Amar Ein Tzarich, Rav Papa Amar Tzarich. So Samachlok is Amarayim. Rav Nachman Amar Ein Tzarich, the Amar Tzarich Zimin Digayz Leila Dibure VeChachamai Deshama Mefer. Rav Nachman says, look, anyway, what's going to happen? You're never really going to be able to give away all the details to the Chacham. You'll say just a little bit. You'll say part of the story. And the Chacham, based on the little information that was given to him, is going to be matur the neder. So Rav Nachman's position is basically, it's not really going to even help if you ask for the neder to be specified. So Rav Nachman says, you know what? You don't need to be mefar the neder. And Rav Papa Amar Tzarich Misham Milsa Di Isura. And Rav Papa says, no, of course you need to, of course the Chacham needs to hear the specifics and the details of the neder. Because the Chacham can only be matur the neder if it yields a positive. If it yields a negative, Chacham doesn't want to be involved in that. Like what we're discussing right now. Meaning the example right now in our Gemara. A woman's collecting your ksuva from her previous husband. The Beis Din says we're only going to allow you to collect if you make a neder. Now you go to a chacham, the chacham's matir, the chacham basically is aiding and abetting her in terms of taking her ksuva, maybe once, maybe twice. So the chachamim don't want to be involved in that. So basically, Rav Papa's position is you must hear the details of the neder. Okay, tonight.
We assume every time that the woman wants to cheat.
No, it's not an assumption. It's just what's going to safeguard, right? Yeah. What's going to safeguard her from not telling the truth? So originally it was a shvuah, but they prevented her from making a shvuah. So it's going to be the neder. You need some sort of, you know, it's a form of a lie detector.
But it really goes back because there are the orphans. To
right, correct, and right, and that's what I said. Yeah, I said yesterday, and again, that's right. It goes back to the point that they're really competing values. On one hand, we want to protect her, and on the other hand, we also want to protect the orphans. So it's, you know, we're interested in protecting both, which obviously creates a complication, which is what the Gemara over here is dealing with. Gemara quotes the Mishnah Tanan. This is the Mishnah Bacharas. I know say Nashim Ba'Avera. Pasal Achiyidur Hana. So let's say a Kohen marries a woman in Ba'Avera, right? He finds a Grusha. He quote unquote, he falls in love. And he says, okay, listen, I got to marry her. I know she's a Grusha, but, you know, she's the one for me. So, okay, so the Kohen's violating an Avera. And furthermore, Bizman HaBeis HaMikdash, they're going to tell the Kohen, look, I'm really sorry. Right? You make choices. That's, you know, the consequences of the choices you make. You can't serve in the Beis HaMikdash. You can't do the Avoda. However, now, the obvious solution is get a divorce. Okay, that's the obvious solution. The Mishnah Bechorah says, even if he doesn't get a divorce, but we could do the following. You want to do the avoda today? You're married. Make a neder. Make a neder. The neder will be that I will divorce her, and if I don't divorce her, so then within a certain time, so then I'm going to be bound by all these nedarim. So basically, you're going to make a neder. And that neder will ensure that he will divorce her. And the Mishnah says, based on that, Tani Allah, on this Mishnah, we have a brisa, noder, v'oved, Yored u'magarish. So the Bryce over here says that under these circumstances now, the sequence of events can go like this. He'll make a neder, he'll do the avoda, he'll go finish doing the avoda, and he'll be magarish. Four verbs in a row. That's a Bryce. Okay, so the Bryce allows the neder to guarantee that he will in fact divorce his wife. And so therefore with a neder in place, now we could do the avoda, because now we have an assurance that he will divorce his forbidden wife, and he could do the avoda. So the Gemara says, now let's imagine for just a moment. Let's say Rav Nachman, you're right. Right? We had a machlok between Rav Nachman and Rav Papa. Do you have to specify to the Chacham what your neder is? Rav Nachman, you think that you don't have to specify the neder. So this Kohen made a neder, and with this neder, now we have an assurance that he'll divorce his wife. According to you, Rav Nachman, we don't have any assurances whatsoever. He's going to go to a Chacham. The Chacham's going to ask for details. He'll say, well, I married a Grusha. And the moment he gives the details, obviously the Chacham won't release him. But according to you, Rav Nachman, you don't need to hear details. If you don't need to hear details, the Chacham's going to be matir the neder, and so he'll continue being married. So how do you understand the Mishnah Bechoros and the Brayson Bechoros that says that the neder will give us an assurance that he's going to divorce his wife? No, it won't, according to you, Rav Nachman. So the Gemara's answer is, we're now on the top of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, Dimanjirin Lebe Rabim. The Gemara says that we're going one step further. It's a neder barabim. It's a neder that was made publicly, and right now the Gemara is of the opinion that if you make a neder publicly, that is something that you cannot be released from. Hanich laman damer neder shehuda barabim ain lavafara laman damer yesh lavafara ma'ikla meimar. Gemara says okay, but that's not unequivocal. There is a debate whether or not a person can release himself from a neder that was made publicly, and the Gemara says now if you subscribe to the viewpoint that you can't be released, so then we're good. But if you're subscribed to the viewpoint that you can be released, so then once again now, according to you, Rav Nachman, how is all this working? According to you, Rav Nachman, there is no need for the noder to give all the details, and so therefore he can get out of this neder. How did you understand the Mishnah Bechoros? So the Gemara's response is, Demadrina lay al das rabim. So now we're going to go even one step further. So now it's no longer neder barabim, it's neder al das rabim. Difference being, neder barabim just simply means you're making a neder in public. Neder al das rabim means you're making a neder not based on what you're thinking, but based on what other people are thinking. Al das rabim, take a look at the top Rashi. on the Amud. Rashi says, "Kach yomru lo." This is what we say to him: "Hare anu madir moscha al da'aseinu." We're making, having you make a neder, but not based on your terms and your thought, but rather based on our terms and the way we're thinking. So, and this is something which is unbreakable. And the Gemara goes on to say, "The Amar Amemar Hilchasa Filaman Damer Neder Shur Debram Yeshla Farah." Even if you subscribe to the viewpoint that a public neder is something which you can get out of, and a chacham can be matir, but al das rabim. But if it's something that was made on public consent, on public intent, ain lo hafar. That's something that you cannot get out of. So the Gemara says, okay. So we have a way of defending Rav Nachman. Again, let's just organize the Gemara and present it in a hopefully organized fashion. So now, where do we stand right now? We have an interesting machlokus between Rav Nachman and Rav Papa, whether or not when you go to a chacham and you ask to be released from neder, does the chacham need all the details? Rav Nachman interestingly says no, and Rav Papa says no. He needs as much of the details as you can fill in. Rav Papa's position is very easy to defend. Why does the Chacham need all the details? Because we've just seen a number of times in Halacha where a neder is made in order to ensure that a person doesn't violate an Avera, a person doesn't collect a ksuva twice, meaning there are nedarim that are put in place so that people wouldn't violate Yisurim. You want to be the Chacham to be matir neder so that a person can violate an Isur? No. Rav Papa would say no. So Rav Papa's position is super easy to defend. What about Rav Nachman's position? It's harder to defend. The Gemara has to first start off by explaining that, look, anyway, the person who's making the neder is not going to be giving you all the details anyway. You're only going to be hearing half a story. Half a story is just as good as hearing nothing. So the Rav Nachman will tell you there's no point anyway in getting all the details. What about all these cases where we're learning now, where a neder was made in order to ensure that a person won't violate an avera? Rav Nachman, what are you going to do with all this? So the Gemara's conclusion is, well, we could say that all those cases is that the neder was made in a way, in a means, which is unbreakable. You cannot get out of the neder. Gemara concluded, Amemar's final point, is that if you make a neder al das rabim, not just a public neder, not just a neder in public, but a neder that is based on not your intent, but on other people's intent, so then that's something which is unbreakable, and that's what all these cases could be talking about. The case in Ksuvos, the case by the Kohen, who married a Grusha, so they're making nedarim al das Rabin.
Is Al Das Rabin considered three people?
It's right. There's more. Right. There's.
So the base
is
always
going to
have three people. No, isn't it always
10? There is a neder birabim, and that assumes is that you need a quorum, you need a minion. Al Das Rabin just simply means I'm saying it based on the public's thought process. So there you are. Okay, there's more discussion in Al Das Rabim, whether you have to specify who you're talking about, or you're speaking about the general public. There's more to discuss, but that's the basic idea. The Gemara says, well, Gemara has one final point on this entire discussion. The Gemara says that's only talking about where the purpose of releasing the neder is because it's a Dvar Rishus. Like the cases what we've been discussing, a woman collecting her ksuva, although the truth of the matter is the Kohen doing the avoda, that's a little trickier to explain as being a dvar rishus. But anyway, aval dvar mitzvah yesh lo afara. But if it's a dvar mitzvah, so even a neder made al das rabim, but if it's a mitzvah, it's for the purpose of mitzvah, then you can release them. I guess the idea is over here, is that once there's a mitzvah, so we can have a consensus, although I don't think we can have a consensus on anything, but we can have a consensus that we want the mitzvah to be done. And because there can be consensus on we want the mitzvah to be done, so therefore, even a neder done al das rabim is something that can be released. The Gemara gives an example. Yeah, right. That's why I stumbled out to this point, because I was thinking back now to the ksuva and to the avoda, and avoda is doing a mitzvah. I guess that's all I'm doing right now. Avoda is something that can be done by somebody else. Maybe that's why avoda is not a.
You can say ksuva also is a mitzvah to pay. I mean, if you owe money, it's a mitzvah to pay. You know.
Let's go. Okay. I'm not. You're not helping right now. But you're asking good questions. Okay. So how mikre dardiki da adre ravacha al das rabim da have a pasha biyinuka. So there was a school teacher. He was a Rebbe. And they made a neder against him. He was abusive. If you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi says, "Dehave pasha b'yinuka choftam yoser midayim." So he was hitting the kids too much. Okay, I know it used to be in the good old days, and these were not, you know, not the good part of the good old days. I know. The older generation over here remembers that the Rebbe used to hit. So and there's a Gemara in Kedushin that describes that's, you know, part of the pedagogic technique. It's not done anymore. So the not recommended, and it's highly not recommended. Anyway, I'll stay away from that topic. But meantime, however, so he was, the way Rashi describes it, he was hitting the kids too much. So and so therefore they made a neder that he shouldn't be a Rebbe anymore. And they made a neder al das rabim. Okay, so they really wanted to solidify the fact that he shouldn't be teaching anymore. However, v'hadri Ravina, so Ravina reinstated him and released him from the neder. Turns out that he was a good rabbi. So, and I'm guessing, although the Gemara doesn't say all this, so, you know, you can, I'm only inserting this in to make this sound nicer. But, you know, maybe he reformed, maybe he promised he wouldn't hit so much. Okay, well, however that reformation worked. But the idea, however, is that we're talking about a Rebbe, we're talking about teaching Torah, Limud HaTorah. So and he was good, so it's a mitzvah. And so even though the neder was made, al das rabim, but it's something that you can release from. Okay, I mentioned earlier the idea that maybe the reason is because you're going to have consensus. I'd easily say, and you know, in today's day and age, there would not be consensus on the idea of, yeah, it's okay, reinstate him. It's fine. He's a good Rebbe. So, okay, but again, I'm using my modern thinking on, you know, to and trying to apply it to the Gemara over here. Okay. Yeah, hit him too much. Yeah, no, occasionally, yeah, right. No, that's the way Rashi is presenting. Correct. Agreed. There were three points that we made in the Mishnah. The Mishnah was presented to us on the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. We have three takanas that were mentioned in the Mishnah. Takana number one is that the Amana is not going to make a shvua. Rabbi Gamliel said, fine, she won't make a shvua. We'll swap out a neder for a shvua. She'll make a neder. She'll be able to collect her ksuva with a neder. That's takana number one. Takana number two, we'll have witnesses signing on the get. That's a takana. To which the Gemara's reaction is, what are we saying? The Gemara says, I don't understand this second point of the Mishnah at all. The idea that witness is signing on a document, that's a din d'oraisa. The Gemara quotes a pasuk. Now, it's interesting, the Gemara is quoting a pasuk from Yirmiyahu, not a pasuk from Chumash. Generally speaking, when the Gemara is introducing a point that this is a din d'oraisa, so normally we have pasukim in Chumash. Okay, but anyway, the pasuk says v'kasu b'sefer v'chasom. So you're going to write it on a document. You're going to sign. Yirmiyahu the Navi was telling people to buy property in Eretz Yisrael, even though there's an impending korban, and even though we will be removed from Eretz Yisrael. But in other words, tikva, there's going to be hope, and hope is going to be predicated on the fact that, and to show a simon, a way of showing that there's going to be hope, is that we're going to buy properties in Israel, and it's going to be documented, and make sure, write it in the document, sign it, and put it away for good, for safekeeping, because we're going to come back and we're going to reoccupy the land. Okay, this is it sounds like I'm speaking about modern Jewish history, but that's the story as it relates to Yirmiyahu. So the Gemara says, now, signing on a document is a din d'oraisa. It's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. And I guess it's not written in the Gemara, but you'll say something like, it's just gilui, it's a gilui milsa. Meaning, that's the rutstone of the Torah, and you see it manifest in Sefer Yirmiyahu. Anyway, how can the Mishnah call it a takana, a rabbinic institution, when meanwhile it's a din d'oraisa? That's the Gemara's question. Lotzricha, right? We can insert the word ella. Lotzricha ella l'Rabbi Elazar. Damar eidim asir karte. So again, we're going to hit on the most basic topic, right? The theme of the Masechta, and that is what it invests the get with its power. Is it going to be the Eide Chasim or is it going to be the Eide Mesira? So this is once again a machlokus between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that the Eide Chasim is what's investing a get with its power. So according to Rabbi Meir, Perfect. Yes. Meaning the chasima is a din daraisa, like the pasuk in Yirmiyahu expresses. However, according to Rabbi Lazar, you don't need edim hachasumim al haget. In fact, they're not even necessary according to Rabbi Lazar. And what we're learning now is that according to Rabbi Lazar, it's really the edim mesira. Meaning, according to Rabbi Lazar, what's it going to look like? You're going to write the document, right? So and so is divorcing so and so. That's it. In other words, you don't have anyone sign on it. Yeah, you'll date it. But you won't have anyone signing on the document. And what invests this document now with its power if you don't have people signing on it? Edim Mesira. You have two people seeing the man hand it over to the woman. And that is what's investing it with its power. So the Gemara says, this is the... this is a get, according to Rabbi Lazar. Now, according to Rabbi Lazar, that's what Rami Gamliel was misaki. Meaning Rami Gamliel was only addressing the opinion of Rabbi Lazar, according to Rabbi Lazar, as a secondary measure to safeguard and make sure that the get's going to be an effective get. We'll have witnesses signing on the document. Why does Zimran Demaisa Sahadeh? The Gemara says because there are going to be times when you're going to want the witnesses who signed on the document. Inami zimnin da'azlan medina sayam. Or sometimes the edim mesira are off and cannot be located, so you have the edim chasima as like a backup to the. Now you have another set of witnesses who are signing. So that is approach number one to our Mishnah. How can we call the signatures on the document a takana? Isn't it a din daraisa? Answer number one is that it's only addressing the opinion of Rabbi Lazar. Rav Yosef Amar Filotem L'Rav Meiri Tkinu She'edem Afarshin Shmosem Begitin Min Mei Tikana Olam. So the Gemara says that maybe it could very well be that our mission is going like Rabbi Meir. Now, according to Rabbi Meir, we already know Minat Torah that there have to be witnesses signing on the document. So according to Rameir, how do you understand our Mishnah? Witnesses sign on the document, but really, Minat Torah, what they could do is just simply scribble. Okay, you ever see a doctor write a script? You ever see me sign a check? So it's a scribble. That's all it is. So that's all that has to be. And then what the takana was is that you have to write out your name so that it's legible. Write legibly. That's the takana of Rabbi Gamliel. So the Gemara says mimnei tikana olam, and that's as a result of tikana olam ki detanya rishoni kosev ani plonis chasamti. So you just simply write ani ploni chasamti. You write a signature. Now, if it's recognizable, in other words, if you can compare it to another certified document, fine. And if not, it's pasul. Amar Gamliel takana gadola itkinashu mafrashin shmosem begitin mimnei tikana ola. So the Gemara says is that was the takana of Rami Gamliel, which is even according to Rami Meir, all you need is a signature. You need now a legible signature, something that could be read. So the Gemara says, "Uvisimana lo." Really, you mean to tell me that a scribble is not a acceptable form of signing? V'havrav tzir kavra. The Gemara now is going to point out that our Amorayim, instead of signing their name by writing out their name, they drew pictures. So Rav would draw a picture of a fish. Rabbi Chanina tzir charusa. Rabbi Chanina would draw a palm frond. Rav Chista Samach. Rav Chista would just simply write the letter Samach. Rav Oshia Ein. Rav Oshia would write the letter Ein. Rabba Bar Rav Hunatzir Makusa, the staff of a boat, the sail of a boat. So these are the pictures that they would draw instead of signing their name. So and again, that's I think Minhag Olam nowadays is pretty much. You know, some people still sign their names, but many people just scribble, and that's a signature. And we find that the Amoraim did it as well. And these Amoraim lived well after Rami Gamliel. So now, question. Rami Gamliel, you made a tikkun gadol that everyone should sign their name legibly. And these Amoraim, clearly, who are not going to be going against the Takana of Rabbi Gamliel, they're drawing pictures. Shani Rabbana Debikina Simanu Meikar. I'm sorry, Simanayu. So the Gemara's answer is, yeah, but everyone knows. You see the fish? Ah, that's Rav. The fish is Rav. That's Rav's signature. So in other words, the only reason why the Takana was made is so that there would be recognition. Once you see a fish, everyone knows the fish is Rav. So the Gemara says, Mikara b'may afkeinu b'diske. The Gemara says, okay, but just a historical question. How did you ever get to the point where you know that the fish was Rav? Meaning the first time that Rav signed with a fish, everyone's looking at the document saying, what's that? So then you explain, oh, well, that's Rav and that's a fish. Okay, fine. after it's become popular and it has recognition, so then I understand. That's sanction. But before that, while they're getting the reputation, the Gemara says, that's not right. How do they do that? So the Gemara's answer is, Bediske, Rashi writes, Shtari, She'elos, Uchuvos, Vishlamos. Correspondence, right? There was a general correspondence, and every time someone sent a letter to Rav with a question, Rav would answer, and Rav would sign on the bottom with a fish. And so that's not, obviously, that's not a legal document. That's just simple correspondence. But then that's how people recognized and realized, hey, that's Rav's signature. I saw a letter that he wrote. He signed it with a fish.
What of the illiterate?
So for the illiterate people, so we discussed earlier what we could do for them in terms of signing a document, right? We basically trace out their name and they write on the trace, and that the Gemara discussed that earlier. But the but in terms of people who have a famous signature, so then they don't need to spell it out. Okay, Hilla Hitkin Prusbo. We're up to the third point of the Mishnah. Hilla made a takanam. And that is the takana of a prusbul. Okay, in terms of the word itself, prusbul, tomorrow's daf. The beginning of tomorrow's daf, we're going to be discussing and explaining where that word comes from. It is a funny word. It's unusual. We'll do etymology talk tomorrow morning. But in the meantime, however, right now, we're going to be learning what exactly the takana of prusbul was. Tanan hasam, we learned in the Mishnah. Prusbul ainu mishamet. That a prosbol, what it does is it prevents the loan from being forgiven. So this is one of the takanas that was made by Hillel HaZaken. Because you and I know that at the end of the Shemitah year, now it's nearly consensus by all Rishonim. There's an interesting rush, but I'm not going to talk about it right now. But the consensus amongst almost all Rishonim is that the seventh year cancels the loans. And that's not the Rishonim, that's the Pasuk in the Torah. Which part of the seventh year? The end of the seventh year. Meaning, Erev Rosh Hashanah, at the end of the seventh year, right? We just had it. Right, you're right. So the... Time ran fast. Okay, anyway, at the end of the seventh year, so Shemitah cancels all loans. So that means that if I loan to another Jew, so what Shemitah does is Shemitah says, okay, that's nice, that was very nice of you. Now, because at the end of the Shemitah year, Shemitah's Mishame. It cancels the loan. So then he doesn't have to pay me. So now, as we approach the end of the seventh year, I'm thinking to myself, look, all right, I'm just not lending money. Meaning, I like lending. Lending is great, but I don't like not getting paid back. That's crazy. So what I'll do is, as we approach the end of the seventh year, I'm just not going to lend that money. So, and the Torah says, don't do that. The Torah says, I understand that that's a thought process. I understand that's a concern. The Torah says, don't be scared about the end of the Shemitah year. Okay. So the and Hillel HaZaken saw that what ended up happening is that people were getting scared. And Sharat Sam Shinim Namahavazah. Va'avra Mashakasa Batari Shamelacha Penya Davar Im Lavav Chabulial. And people are violating the Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, where the Torah there says, don't be scared. So Amadikin Prisbol. So he then instituted Prisbol. Vizel Gufashal Prisbol. Now, what exactly is the body of the text of Prisbol? Masran al Khamploni Dayanam Shabamakam Ploni Shechol Chov Shishli Eitzel Ploni Shegben Kozman She'ertze Vahad Kozman She'ertze. That you write a document and the wording of the document is that these judges that are in this location, that any have that I have that's outstanding, any obligation that, not any obligation that I owe, but any obligation that's owed to me, that I'll be able to collect it anytime that I want. And then you can have judges or witnesses signing on the bottom. This should sound familiar because we just quoted this Mishnah just a couple days ago. Because remember, we had the discussion of when you're being mevatel the get. Do you need to do it in front of three or do you need to do it in front of two? Mm-hmm. And we quoted this Mishnah. But anyway, we're quoting the Mishnah again. We're quoting this Mishnah once again. So the Mishnah in Shvia says you'll have the judges and witnesses signing on the bottom. And this will be the text of the Prusbul. Now, the okay. So this is the takana that was made by Hillel. So that even though, let's see if we can now just set ourselves up for successfully understanding the Gemara. We have a din d'oraisa that when you get to the end of the Shemitah year, the Shemitah is going to cancel all outstanding loans so that the borrower never has to pay back the lender. Okay. On top of that, in addition to that, the Torah also says that as you approach the end of the Shemitah year, don't withhold lending. Make sure to lend money. I know you're thinking to yourself, don't lend money because I'm not going to get paid back. The Torah says don't do that. Hishamer. And parenthetically, when the Torah says the word hishamer, it's a lav, it's a negative prohibition not to withhold lending towards the end of the Shemitah year. Towards the end of the Shemitah cycle. Okay, so those are the psukim in the Torah. Then what Hillel looked around and Hillel saw that people were not lending money, despite the fact that the Torah says don't be scared, but, you know, it's people.
Human nature.
Right, human nature. Right, yeah. Perfect. And efficiently said. So it's human nature. So people did not lend money. So Hillel says, okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to create an institution that's going to bypass Shemitah, that will allow people to collect. What am I going to do? So the Gemara here quotes the Mishnah Shviyas, where the Mishnah Shviyas gives us the nusach of the Shemitah. Mosrani Lachem. If you take a look at Rashi, Mosrani Lachem, Echtarasisha, attempt to you no kshim, Vanilo agos, Lakam and Mukhi, Yeshkoch, Biadam, Lafke, Mamonosh, Ozevli, Telezer, Bemakum, Sheshiak, Vetakana. Okay, I didn't want to go over the second part of Rashi as of yet, that the Gemara later on will say, but basically, what's going to happen now is that I'm no longer going to be the noges. I'm not going to be the one who's pressing. Basin's going to be the one who's pressing, because essentially what I've done is I've handed over my obligation for me over to Beis Din. So now Beis Din has the ability to press. I'm not in violation of noges, of los egos, of not to press. And so therefore, that is how the Prisbal document is going to work. In general, just it's a good general point to be aware of, meaning that this is a legitimate avenue of circumventing the Shemitah issue by basically taking a loan that was owed to me, and I'm now going to hand it over to Beis Din, and that is a legitimate way to circumvent the Shemitah. Question we can now ask is, well, if that's true, and if this is a perfectly legitimate way to circumvent the Shemitah cancellation, so what was Hillel's takana? Meaning, couldn't we do this even prior to Hillel making a takana? Okay, that's a general issue which requires more explanation and elaboration. I'm just raising it as an issue. But okay, let's move ahead.
That's what the farmers do in Israel now.
Okay, yeah, correct. We're going back to the beginning. We're going back to the beginning of the discussion in terms of Hillel. Okay, back to the Gemara. The Gemara now asks some very basic questions. So after going over the text of the of the Prisbal, Umi ikamid demadaraisa mishamta shviyas, so the Gemara says, I don't understand. Comes out now that min ha-Torah, the Shemitah will cancel the loan. And somehow Hillel is able to create a takana to circumvent Shemitah. How can the din d'rabbanan override a din d'oraisa? Such a basic question. Amar Abaye, to that, the Gemara now is going to provide an answer. Abaye's answer is, b'shviz bezman hazeh. No. We're not talking about Shvius when Shvius was enforced on a Torah level. We're talking about where Shemitah is only enforced on a rabbinic level. We're talking about the Torah is describing two Shemitahs. Once again, Parshas Re'eh, and the two Shemitahs over here, Shemitahs Keser, Shemitahs Karka. Bizman she'atem mishamei karka, atem mishamei ksafim, bizman she'atem mishamei karka, i'atem mishamei ksafim, they go hand in hand. When the Shemitahs Karka applies, Shemitahs Kesef applies, and when Shemitah Karka does not apply, Shemitahs Kesef does not apply. There's a missing part of this Gemara over here. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi fills in a detail, an important detail which the Gemara left out. Look at Rashi, v'shmiz bezman hazeh. Rashi writes, v'hilo karebi svirle da'amar shvius lehashmatas malva bezman hazeh derabanan hu v'af agav de'hilo bebay sheni hu hava. Now, Rashi points out, and it's an important part that we need to fill in. When did Hillel live? He lived during Bayis Sheni. Okay. Right, almost in the middle of Bayis Sheni, Hillel was the last of the five zugos. Right, and just in other words, in terms of a very basic historical account of Bayis Sheni, it was Shimon Atzadik, And after Shimon HaTzadik was followed by the five Zugos. And the fifth of the five Zugos is Hillel. So really, we are like six generations into Bayit Sheni. Now, Bayit Sheni lasted for 420 years, but so we're somewhere a little bit closer on the back nine than on the front nine of Bayit Sheni, but we are in the middle of Bayit Sheni. Fine. And what now the Gemara is saying is that during Bayit Sheni, there was no Shemitah. So Rashi over here explains, how can that be? We're during Bayit Sheni. Rashi explains, Sfir le la bay de Bayit Sheni hov lo haya yovel noheg lo nagu Shemitah midaraisa. Oh, so here's the missing piece, says Rashi, is that during Bayit Sheni there was no yovel. And because there was no yovel, there was no Shemitah as well. Meaning yovel and Shemitah are really a package deal. Right? The Gemara says that Shemitah's kesef and Shemitah's karka are a package deal. Rashi's adding one more point, which the Gemara assumes that we know, and we do because we have Rashi, and that is, it's Yovel, Shemitah's Karka, Shemitah's Ksafim, those all get bundled together. Why wasn't Yovel Noeg during Bayit Sheni? So the Gemara, so to that Rashi quotes the Gemara in Erechin, Udamrin, Be'erechin, Mana Yovelos, Lekadosh Shemitah's Midrabban and Kamar. Rashi admits at the end that you're going to find sources that disagree on this issue in terms of whether or not Yovel and Shemitah are bundled or not bundled. But Rashi will assume, in terms of explaining our Gemara, that Yovel and Shvius are bundled, and because there's no Yovel during Bayit Sheni, there's no Shemitah during Bayit Sheni. Why is there no Yovel during Bayit Sheni? So to that, the answer is because in order for Yovel to be in place, you need the Yud Bei Shvatim, you need the 12 tribes to be settled in Eretz Yisrael. So for Bayis Rishon, for most of Bayis Rishon, you had that. But then we know Sancheriv took the Asar Shvatim and removed them. Once he did that, so now we only have two of the 10 Shvatim who are occupying Eretz Yisrael. So that's it. Yovel goes away. And the way Rashi's setting it up, once Yovel goes away, Shemitah's Karka goes away. And once Shemitah's Karka goes away, Shemitah's Ksafim go away as well. So Min HaTorah, none of that is in force. And therefore, what the Gemara is saying is that the Chachamim said that we're still going to be Noheg Shemitah Midrabanan. Will be Noheg Shvius Midrabanan. But now the Gemara says, based on this, now we understand where how can Prusbel effectively cancel Shemitah, which is a Din D'Oraisa? Answer, it's not a Din D'Oraisa. It's a Din D'Rabanan, since where there's no Yovel, again, I'm saying it like Rashi, since there's no Yovel, there's no Shemitah's Karka, and since there's no Shemitah's Karka, there's no Shemitah's Kesef, all on a D'Oraisa level, and the Chachamim kept Shemitah's Karka and Shemitah's Kesef, Hain Amru, Vehem Amru. They're the ones who instituted it, but they also gave an out in terms of using a Prusbel. Just as a basic question that we can ask, if the Chachamim anyway are keeping things Midrabanan, why don't they keep Yovel Midrabanan? Meaning, why aren't we knowing Yovel nowadays? So to that, Tosfos asks that question on the Amud Beis, it's a short Tosfos, and he writes, V'hadalo tika nami Yovel, zechel Yovel, Mishum de ein rov sibri chol la amod ba le aser ba'avodas karka shtei shanim ritzu folks. Tosfos writes, because if we were to be Noeg Yovel nowadays, then we would have to go two consecutive years of not working, the Shemitah year and the Yovel year. And it's Efshar, right? The tzibur cannot handle such a commemoration. It's too onerous for us, so that's why we can't do it. Now, obviously, the Torah, when the Torah is enforced, and then the Torah gives it. But the Torah, then we don't have a choice. And the Torah is also going to provide the bracha in which, before that 2 years of not working, we're going to have a real bumper crop. Nowadays, we don't have such a promise. Okay, that's a good point to know. We are on the very top of Lamed Vav Amid Beis. V'takin Rabbanan T'tisham Izech L'Shvius. The Chachamim were the ones who instituted that we're still going to commemorate the Shemitah year. Zech L'Shvius. Ra'hilo Shenin Nuham Alahavos. Now we are filled in with the rest of the details. Hillel saw, however, that even though rabbinically we were knowing Shemitah, people would not lend money. So therefore, he instituted prosbol. Okay. So now the Gemara asks in the reverse. Interesting. You mean to tell me now that really bisman is that we don't have shmita min haTorah? Now the Chachamim instituted that what? That the loans are going to be canceled. How can they do that? Min haTorah, you owe me money. The Chachamim say now, no, you don't. How can they do that? So I'm Abaye Sheval Tase who. So Abaye's of the opinion that Sheval Tase. Okay, they could do that. Meaning what they can do is they can passively say that I know the Torah says he owes you money, but passively we can tell you he doesn't owe you money. And that's a passive violation of the Torah, which is within the Chachamim's purview to do so. Now we have the next words in the Gemara is Rava Amar. Okay, here it gets a little bit tricky. What I will do is I'm going to present the Gemara like Rashi. And that is, this Rav Amar is going back to the first question that we asked. What was the first question that we asked? If Shemitah is a din d'oraisa, how can Hill be Masakin Prisbol? So the first answer that we gave is Shemitah is not min haTorah. Rashi understands now that this, when the Gemara now is saying Rav Amar, this is responding to that question. Meaning, and let's not assume that Shemitah is midrabanan. Let's even assume that Shemitah is min haTorah, and the Chachamim can still institute Prisbol. That's the way Rashi understands it. Now, admittedly, to be fair, Tosfos doesn't understand the Gemara that way, but I'll present the Gemara this morning just like Rashi. So the Gemara says now, Rava Amar, Rava's of the opinion, Hefker based in Haya Hefker. So, yes, even if Shemitah's d'oraisa, the Chachamim have the power to institute Prisbol based on the principle of Hefker based in Haya Hefker. And the Gemara says, Amar of Yitzchak ben Nancha Hefker based in Haya Hefker, Shenemar v'chol asher lo yavol l'shoshes yamim, ka'atzas asarim, v'azekeinim, yercharam kol v'chusho v'hu yibadal, mikahal agola. The Gemara quotes the pasuk from Ezra, where Ezra is telling the people who did make Aliyah with him, it is time to divorce your non-Jewish wives. Meaning, I'm very happy that you came to Eretz Yisrael with me, that's wonderful, but you're married to non-Jewish wives, that's no good, and you're going to come and you're going to meet me here in Yerushalayim, and if you don't, I will remove all your properties from you. Ezra has that power? The answer is Ezra has that power, right? Based on the principle of Hefker, based in Hefker. Rabbi Eliezer Amar Mehacha, Rabbi Elazar learns it from a different pasuk. Ela Nachlos, or Shenachlu Elazar Kohen, V'Yoshua Benun, V'Roshei Ha'avos. Where, when it came time to divide Eretz Yisrael and to allocate it to the various Shvatim, so the Torah describes that Yoshua was in charge together with Elazar Kohen. V'Chimanyan Rashim Eitzel Avos. The term Roshei Avos. Why is that used over there? Lamelcha ma'avos manchilam as b'neim kol mashi yirtzu af rashim manchilam ha'am kol mashi yirtzu. So just like a father has the power to gift and leave over assets towards his children, so too a leader of a generation has the ability to do the same as well. Meaning that a beis din has the power to take money from you, give it to whomever they choose. So they have that power, they have that right. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara now, what Rav is really doing is he's addressing the original question, how can you institute Prisbol? Even if Shemitah is Daraisa, you can institute it based on the principle of Hefker based in Hefker. Ibailu ki hitken ilu hil Prisbol adari, hu detakin odim ladari alma, namitakon. Did Hillel make this institution for just his generation or for future generations? The Gemara says, can we be mevato? If he only made it for his generation, so then it's something that we can nullify. We know that the only way a later Beis Din can come and upend an original takana of an earlier Beis Din is only if they're greater. Chachma minyan, chachma. That some we understand minyan is a little harder to understand. But in the meantime, let's just for our purposes, time is short, time is late. Let's just simply say you have to be a greater Beis Din. So the Gemara says Tashma Damashmol Lo Kasvin and Prisbol Ella Iba Beidina Desura Iba Beidina Denahara Denaharda. You want to write a Prisbol, you have to go to a great Beis Din. One in Surah, one in Arda. Isakadach Ladari Ama Nami Takun Bishar Bedina Nami Lechzivu. So the Gemara says, now, if Hillel made this Takana for all generations and future generations, why can't any Beis Din write it? So the Gemara says, Demoki Takun Hillel Ladari Ama. Kagon Bedina Dide. So the Gemara says, it could very well be that no, that Hillel really instituted for all generations. It just happens to be that in order to be a Beis Din that has the authority to write a Prizbol, they have to be as great as the Beis Din of Hillel. Okay, let's pause over here. Let's go a little bit further. Uche Rav Ami v'Rav Asi Da'alim alafku imamona Avalukole ama lo. Okay, so the Gemara says that that we could still argue that this takana was made for all generations, for future generations. Okay, we finished today the Gemara regarding swapping out a neder for a shvur in order for a woman, a mana, to be able to collect her ksuva. What about after she gets remarried? So we saw that that's a machlokas as to whether or not she can make a neder. Some say yes, some say no. Okay. We talked about the signing of a get, the Mishnah described as being a takana. How can that be? A takana isn't signatures on a get, a din d'oraisa. So the Gemara gave two approaches. Either a Mishnah is going like Rav Elazar, who ate a Masira Karte, and our Mishnah's signing is a Tikkun Olam for Rav Elazar. Or it could be that it's our Mishnah's going like Rabbi Meir, and the point being, according to Rabbi Meir, that the Tikkun is that they have to write legibly so that everyone knows who's signing on the document. And then the rest of today's daf and tomorrow's daf is going to be regarding the issue of Prizbol. Prizbol is a means, it's a method of circumventing around the cancellation of the loan. So that as you get to the end of the Shemitah year and you have outstanding loans that are owed to you, you can write up a Prizbol. And so that way you can circumvent the loan. You're essentially handing over your obligation over to Beis Din. And that's how it's going to work. Question the Gemara asks is, how can the Chachamim institute something that would circumnavigate around a din d'oraisa of cancellation of the loans? So the way Rashi presents the Gemara, there are two fundamental answers. Answer number one is that Shemitah is only a din d'rabbanan, not din d'oraisa, and that we spend time with the Rashi in terms of understanding. Even during Bais Sheni, Shemitah is a din d'rabbanan, not a din d'oraisa. Or Rava's answer is no. We can even argue that Shemitah is a din d'oraisa, but Prizbol can circumvent it because of the principle of Hefker based on Hefker.